Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Today's cool fact of the day is that non-food things like shampoo, cream, sunscreen, lipstick, toothpaste, medications, and vitamins sometimes use gluten for processing. And just because it's not being used as a food, it doesn't have to be declared on a label. So if you're like crazy gluten sensitive, check with your manufacturers. If it's lipstick, actually, you probably don't want to put gluten on your lips every day because you eat a lot of lipstick. I read some study somewhere that women eat like 80 pounds of lipstick a year. I'm just kidding. It was nowhere near that much. But it was enough to like pay attention to. So I would say you probably don't have to worry about it depending on the level of sensitivity you have. And if you don't know your level of sensitivity, try going without gluten, like strictly going without gluten for a month and see what happens to your brain, see what happens to the rest of you. And quite often, it can take 6 months for all the effects of gluten to leave your immune system. It's kind of crazy all the different symptoms that can be tied to it, and we aren't very good as humans at identifying long-term results of short-term actions. So you ate the pizza, and you know, you're still kind of stiff a month later. You're not going to draw that correlation unless you're a crazy event correlation machine like me.
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should. Because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Today's guest is someone who actually was 50 pounds overweight with severe depression. And that led to her getting divorced and broke. But that's just like the backstory. And she's none of those things now that I'm aware of, except, well, once you're divorced just like me, hey. Nothing wrong with a little practice before you make it perfect. I'm talking to a master sports nutritionist, a fitness trainer, someone with millions of followers on Facebook and other social media, things like that. None other than Natalie Jill, author of the new book, The 7-Day Jumpstart. Natalie, welcome to Bulletproof Radio.
I am so stoked to be here. Seriously, my life feels complete that I get to be on Bulletproof Radio today.
Oh,
I'm stoked.
Hey, Brock, we got to send her a lot more product.
Well, I just heard what you were pumping about the Bulletproof Instant Mix, and I'm all about that now because exactly what you said with that, the cheap butter and the coconut oil, that's what I literally just did last week. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, it feels different when you get the real stuff because brain octane raises ketones and coconut oil has a lower effect on ketones than just eating nothing. And this is totally not what they tell you in paleo circles, but the science is the science. And coconut oil is good for you. It's just not going to put you in ketosis. So I'm happy we finally get a chance to chat on the air. We've talked before, and you're coming out with your new work, and you've really actually done a lot of hacking on yourself because I tend to listen more to someone who's dealt with, like, and you're really open about it, like the fact that, yes, you had 50 extra pounds. I had 100 extra pounds, and I dealt with the symptoms of Asperger's syndrome and social anxiety, and as a kid, I used to have, like, OCD and ODD and all sorts of weird stuff. But just be able to be open and vulnerable about that, that's one thing I respect about you. You're like, yes, I had to lose 50 pounds. I had to turn my brain back on from when I was depressed. And you're open about it and you share really authentically. So how did that lead to you writing the 7-Day Jumpstart Plan? Like how did you get here with millions of people listening to your every word and looking at your every action? Like give me your story.
You know, it's so funny because it's hard to believe myself because I spent most of my life being what I call a fake person. Because up until my late 30s, I was the person that had this image to hold up. I thought I have to have this certain job. I have to live in this type of neighborhood. I have to drive this kind of car. I have to be married with the two dogs and the picket fence and the baby. Like I just had this image of what I was supposed to be. And I feel like I spent my whole life in this fake world of putting on an act of who I thought I was supposed to be, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm sure half people listening are like, oh yeah.
Yeah, like that's what's happening. And I feel like it was such a big lesson for me because what happened was just when I looked like I had everything so put together to everybody else in the world, my life was falling apart inside. And I was pregnant and I was happy about that. But I was also pregnant at a time when the housing market had crashed, when the stock market had crashed, where I was getting a divorce. My husband and I at the time decided our marriage was not going to work for a lot of reasons. I had gained a lot of weight when I was pregnant, and not because of hormones and just because I was pregnant, but because I was frankly eating everything. I mean, French fries, ice cream, everything to comfort myself because I was feeling down. And I felt like I had the weight of the world on me because financially I was struggling. I knew I was going to lose my house. I knew I was having a new baby. I was going to be divorced. And I was really scared because the only stable thing I had in my life was my job and I was traveling full time with it. And I knew that had to change because how was I going to be a single mom and raise a daughter and go through a divorce and pay my, and travel? I remember feeling so overwhelmed and I felt so phony because I had this life that I looked like I was living and I didn't know how to tell people I was struggling. I was embarrassed, which is so funny to me now because I share everything now. I don't care. I just put it all out there. But at the time it was like, I have to be tough. I can't let people see this side. And I was really a fake person. That's how a different chapter of my life.
There's a line from like an Alice in Chains song that I used to really like. And it's about like, They never knew who I thought I was supposed to be, is a line from it. And you're reminding me, I remember when I told my boss way back when I got divorced and more than 10 years ago, I walked in, I'm like, look, I need to take a few days off. And he goes, with no notice? Like, what the hell? Like, we're at a startup. Like, things are moving. And I'm like, I'm getting divorced. And he just stopped. He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, like, why didn't you say something? I had no idea anything was going on. And all my friends said they had no idea. That, like, this just came out of the blue. I'm like, well, you're not supposed to, like, talk about that stuff. And I'm like, turns out you are supposed to talk about it. I just didn't. So you were in the same boat I was in.
Yeah, I was and I was too proud for therapy at the time. Yeah. I mean, all the things that I would be supportive of now, I was, like, too proud. Like, oh, I don't need a
therapist. Therapy is for weak people. Don't you know that?
I don't need antidepressants. Everything was like, I don't need that. You know, I don't need to talk to somebody and tell them my problems. But I knew something was wrong. I knew I was really depressed. I mean, I knew I didn't want to get up in the day. I was tired. Literally, I felt like the only thing that was keeping me going was that I was going to be a mom. Yeah. And I remember wishing I had a remote control to fast forward. I'm like, I just need to fast forward this whole time of my life. I don't know where it's going, but I need to fast forward. And my line in the sand was after I'd had my daughter and things were definitely out of control, but I remember walking and catching a glimpse of myself in a window, like where you see the mirror reflection. And I just didn't recognize who I had become. I mean, I had like the bags under my eyes. I was overweight. My daughter was now a few months old. things were hanging on me. I didn't recognize who I'd become, and I felt so alone. And I thought, I don't want to be this person anymore. And I tell everybody now, the very first step in changing your life, whether it's weight loss, your career, or relationship, is you have to make a decision. You have to decide. You have to decide it's possible, because I always hear people say, oh, I tried this, or I don't know, or I might, but they haven't decided. But when I decided I'd had enough, that's when everything started to change. And I went home and I just said, okay, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I'm getting out of it. I'm deciding. I made a vision board. That was the very first thing I did. And I did that because I wanted to be able to look at images of possibility. I thought, if I could just look at happy couples, or look at fit people, or look at money, or just things that I thought would make me happy at the time, maybe I could start acting towards those feelings. And that was literally like my first step. I didn't have this grand plan to be in fitness or nutrition or to inspire others. I just was trying to save myself. And I knew I had to decide and create a vision. That was literally the first step.
That's a pretty powerful story. You learn a lot from a process like that versus like, oh, I decided I was going to like start a, you know, health marketing and, you know, I'll market the American food pyramid and, you know, whatever. And you get like a different level of authenticity. I think that's why you have so many followers on social too, because you're really open about those things. And I respect that about you.
And I never had the idea of starting a fitness business. But what happened was I needed accountability somehow. And I couldn't tell my friends, and I didn't want to tell my family. I didn't know who to talk to about what was going on. So this is when I had, you know, no followers on Facebook. I had like my high school friends on there. They're just like when Facebook was first. Yeah. So, but I remember the first thing I started doing was I was going to like pay attention to what I was eating. And I had started researching online about food and nutrition. And I already knew some stuff about being gluten-free, but I didn't understand like really about whole unprocessed food and what I needed to balance things out. And I thought, I'm just going to start preparing meals based on what I'm learning. And I'm going to take a picture of them. And I'm going to share them because I want other people to see what I'm doing. And it was really my own accountability that if I tell people I'm going to post my meals every day, I have to do it. I can't reach for the chips or the junk because I'm going to post my meal. And I started sharing. And what was really amazing was that was the first experience in my life of being truly authentic, like of telling what I'm actually doing without an agenda. And I had so much support. It was amazing. Like people were like, this is so wild. Like you're sharing your meals. I had no agenda.
You're telling me that you didn't like photo sculpt your guacamole into like a perfect dome.
No.
Or you photoshopped. I mean, it's
so funny because I think of like my cookbook now, which was like food stylist and everything. Right. Remember Blackberries? I mean, this was my Blackberry phone. Things looked like puke. I mean, quite frankly, I was like, what is this? I didn't know about that. I was doing it for my own accountability. And it was very real.
People are mean on social. You post, you're like, okay, here's a picture of what I actually eat. And like, it doesn't look pretty. I'm like, here's the deal. Most of us don't eat food sculpted food every meal. It's just a thought, but yeah.
But now we do with Instagram and Pinterest. But at the time, on my accountability on Facebook, no, I just put it out there as my BlackBerry photos. And it was really amazing to me that I was just sharing and people were interested. They were like, what is this? What are you putting in here? And I just was talking to people. That was it. There was no grand business plan. I was just talking to them.
How did that lead to the 7-day jumpstart?
Yeah. So this is actually really funny. So people liked my meals and they started asking, you know, hey, this is really creative. Like, can you put together a recipe book for us? And I thought, a recipe book? I don't know the first thing about that. But somebody told me to make an ebook. And I remember Googling, what is an ebook? Because I didn't know what that meant. And an ebook is an electronic book. And then because I'm a fast acting, like that ADD personality, I just do things. I don't really research enough, you know, once I decide. Yeah. I didn't look up like how to professionally do an ebook. I just did one myself, like on a Word document with my BlackBerry pictures being inserted. So I took like one weekend and I put all my BlackBerry pictures in. I wrote a little description. It was this complete ghetto style. it was not even a PDF, like a Word document. And I decided I was going to charge $10 for it. And I put it out on Facebook and I'm like, okay, you guys, I put my recipes together. Here they are, you know, $10. All you have to do is if you PayPal here, I email it to you. And that's how it started. That is
nice e-commerce platform there.
Yeah. I didn't know about internet marketing or sales pages or any of this stuff. I just knew, you know, people are asking for recipes. And while they were liking my recipes and I was doing this, my body was changing because I was really getting excited. I was connecting with people. I was working out more. I was starting to become the person I wanted to be. And I was sharing that. I was saying, you know, I went to the gym, I did this workout, and people started to see my body change. So they said, hey, how do you put this together in a meal plan? So I took another weekend. I sat down and I wrote what's now, was a very different version at the time, but of my original 7-day jumpstart. And I wrote it in a weekend. I didn't proofread it. It's like embarrassing now,
right.
but it worked. It was like, I put together what I explained to you, my goals, how to do a vision board, how I put a meal together and how to use recipes and a little cookbook. And I decided to sell that for $35, and people loved it. Because it was, I'm being real and I'm connecting. I'm not marketing. I was being real, connecting with people. They loved it. They would send me in a message and say, oh my gosh, this jumpstart was awesome. I lost 5 pounds. I'm feeling great. Thank you for creating this. And I would ask them if I could screenshot that and share it. And they'd say yes. And I would say, oh my gosh, look at Dave. He just sent me this. It made my day. I made it about him, because it was about him.
Yeah.
Like, he lost weight doing this. I mean, this is amazing. And I always said, who is next? And it just started to grow. It started to grow. And what was amazing, it wasn't so much the money, because yeah, money started to come in. But what was amazing to me is that my rock bottom place that I didn't understand why it was happening to me was now changing the lives of other people and getting them encouraged and motivated. And I felt like I had a purpose now. It's like, wow, I have a purpose and I'm helping these people. Like, it was amazing to me. I wasn't setting out to be a social media, you know, expert or a fitness guru or any of that. It just happened from me being really real and sharing and listening.
It's amazing. You just went and you did it. When I started out, I spent 5 years writing a book, the Better Baby book. I wrote the book before I talked to publishers. I had no idea what I was doing, but it was like, you know, it's an important book, and like I believe it. It has I wrote it actually based on the own program for we did for my own family to not have kids with autism, because it kind of runs in my family. Like, I kind of had Asperger's, and I say kind of because I wasn't formally diagnosed with it, but it runs in my family and had all the symptoms of it. But by the time I was diagnosed with stuff, I'd already changed my biology so dramatically that I'm neurologically different. We'll put it that way. So I did all that work. So that's 5 years where I probably could have been sharing knowledge and information and just talking about it. And you just like went for it.
Yeah.
And then I brought the book out. And because I hadn't have done the things that you've done, it only sold like 5,000 copies, even though it's actually got way more science in it than the Bulletproof Diet, which sold hundreds of thousands of copies because I learned how to do it right. And along the way, as the traffic started to grow for Bulletproof, I did come out with an ebook briefly, but it was one of those things where I spent a long time on it. I'm like, it's just not good enough. And like, I set the bar so high that I made it more work than it needed to be. And here you are, you're like, I'm just going to go for it. And so kudos for doing that, because I didn't do that. And you're making me wonder why, because the very first e-commerce ever on the internet, you totally reminded me of it, was a t-shirt that said caffeine, my drug of choice. And out of my dorm room, it was just like you said, I posted in these little forums called news groups on something called Usenet. This was before the browser existed.
Sure.
And it was like, if you want one of these t-shirts, you can just send a check to my dorm room and I'll send you a t-shirt. And like, it was so good, but we didn't have anything better at the time, but it was actually, it turns out, cutting edge. But that quick start ability to just go out there and say, I don't really know, but I'll figure out I'm going to do it. That's a real asset. And you're making me wonder why I didn't do more of that in Bulletproof, but who knows?
But I'll tell you where it came from, because that wasn't the old me. The old me in corporate America before I went through all this, what was into perfection. I had everything had to be perfect. This was, I didn't care anymore. I was so down on my luck and feeling so just bad that I had nothing to lose. And I thought, I'm putting myself out there and I'm just being real. And what I was learning was the more real I was, the more I was connecting with people. And it's funny to me because I have so many people, especially in fitness and nutrition now, they come to me and they say, oh my gosh, you have this big social media, or you've been successful, whatever. Here, I have this business idea or this business plan. And I'm thinking like, you're missing the whole thing. That is not what I did at all. I mean, I built a following really just talking to people and being real. And that's where I got my product ideas. It was completely the other way around.
The authenticity and connecting thing, I started writing with Bulletproof. I already had a job. I was a VP at a big company. Like I didn't expect to build a business out of it like that. I wanted people to read the information, but I'm like, I already have a paycheck. Like I'm okay. I'm not wealthy, but I'm certainly comfortable, and like it's all good. And that level of startup, same thing. People come in all the time. I have this big idea, and I'm gonna exploit the market. And I'm like, you're actually no one's gonna listen to you because you.
Where's your platform? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even if you build a platform, it's like to build an authentic platform of people who care. Well, you have to care, and you have to really bring it every day. And it, people have BS detectors that are really strong. And if you set that off because you're not authentic, it doesn't matter if you like meant to be authentic. Either you are or you aren't. And I don't know how to teach that, but you certainly put that in early because you put all of yourself into your business, and then you've also evolved your thinking. So you started out with this. I'm just going to call it like a ghetto ebook, and now though you've got like a quote real book.
Yeah.
And how did you change? How'd you change how you lay it out?
My ghetto ebook evolved as my business grew. And you know, I have 19 ebooks now, which is funny. But every single ebook, every DVD I have made, every single thing I've done, it's because my audience asked for it. I never just had the idea. It was like they're saying, we want workouts or we want this. And I created it based on what they're asking me for. So I was actually making money, and you know, I was able to start an actual business, and my following was growing. It was time to make that 7-day jumpstart better. So then I really did invest in getting help and making it more meatier, more information, some newer recipes. And so the ebook was doing great, and I didn't tweak it much after that because my gosh, we had helped tens of thousands of people transform, and it was working. It was amazing. But what happened was I wanted to get out to more of the masses. I feel like my message and what I went through was strong. And I watched all these diets come and go that I was not believing in and not following. There's definitely a handful that I did, but there's a lot that I think is just garbage out there. And I thought, I just want to get my simple message out. And I knew there's only so much I can do myself on social media and through my website. And I was like, I just thought I have to get this in a hard copy book, and I have to get it in bookstores because one, I'm going to reach more people. And two, it validates it more because you and me might think information's great in an ebook, but there are people that they want a hard copy. They want to know it's a published book, and I get it. So to me, that was sort of a next step. Like, I don't need to prove that this works. I just want to get it out to more people. So that's when I did talk with several publishers and ended up working with one on turning in this into an actual book. And what I wanted to do with that was make it different and better than the ebook, because I felt I wanted this to be a part two to people that have already done my ebook, but also something that the masses would really enjoy. So things like putting 84 brand new recipes in it. So it could be a recipe book, adding workouts to it. So just making it a lot more meaty.
So how did you lay it out? Because it's laid out pretty cleanly. Like, what does a 7-day jumpstart plan look like?
So the beginning of it is first literally it gets more into my story and sharing some other people's stories. And then also talking about that first step, because I think it's so important, about becoming your authentic self, creating a vision and writing out goals. Because I don't care what the diet is. If you don't have that dialed in, you can't stick to it. It's so important. You got to get your mind right. So I really dive deep into that, where I think a lot of diet or nutrition books out there, they like tap on that, but they don't really dial into that. And I actually have things you have to do, like little worksheets that you've got to fill out just to get in that right mindset. And then I explain. I don't love just giving a plan without explaining why things are happening. And I didn't want to explain it to science techie, because there's people like you that can do that amazing. That's not my strength.
It's also boring if you do too much of it. I had to take it out of the Bulletproof diet. Yeah. I'm a geek, right? But most people, they're like, tell me what to eat already. For God's sake, shut up, right?
Sure.
So I think you might have appealed to people better.
No,
than I
just did. I didn't want to put anything in my book that was not backed by research. So everything is backed by research, but I wanted to get to the point, and I wanted to remember who I was talking to. And I'm talking to the person who's where I was, the person that is 30 to 50 pounds overweight, that's eating processed food, that they don't understand this really amazing nutrition. They're just learning to unprocess their diet. So I wanted to talk to them. So I explained things. I explained like what happens when you eat artificial sweeteners, what happens to your body when you eat too many starchy carbs, what happens to your body when you don't eat enough fat. I just explain it so they understand, and that helps them understand why they're doing things before they're following a meal plan. And then I actually lay out a 7-day meal plan, and it's optional. I say you can read the rest of this and do it yourself. Or if you want, some people want the black and white, tell me what to do. Or you could follow this. And I really break meals down just to very simple fats, carbs, and proteins, just teaching what that is. And everything is based on a food that once grew. So it's real natural foods. I don't put any rules about time of day. I get that some people want to do bulletproof in the morning and not eat food until a lot later. And that's fine. I get that people want to eat their meals every few hours versus spreading them out. I explain why I don't do that every few hours, but I let people choose because it's beginner steps first. Let me teach you how to unprocess your diet. Let me show you how great you're going to feel doing that. And then we can get into the more advanced stuff. And then I have 77 recipes that are to show people that unprocessed food can taste amazing. You don't need Ho-Hos or Twinkies. Like, you can have real food that tastes amazing, that's good for you. 7 guilt-free desserts. And then I have 7 body weight workouts that are 7 minutes each, because I also wanted to show people that you don't have to go to the gym and beat yourself up for hours.
So are you like a blackjack player?
No, I'm not. Like, I'm a roulette.
3 times 7 is 21. I'm like, where did the sevens come from? Like there's got to be an angle here.
Yeah. So, well, 7's always been my favorite number. I don't know why, but because I called it 7-day jumpstart, I just liked the whole sticking with 7.
You just tripled down on the sevens and like, seven. I like it. No, it's got
I didn't want to call it like 666 or like, you know, I gotta stay positive.
I'm telling you, if you're with the evil diet, you'd probably have a really big brand. I'm just saying. But.
And I honestly wanted to call it just unprocess your diet. That was the name I wanted, because that's really what it is, unprocess your diet. We went with 7-day jumpstart because that's the book I initially did that had so much success. So everyone felt it was best to keep it branded with that.
Let's talk about what unprocessing really is.
Yes.
Because like cooking is kind of a process.
Yes, totally. So you'll probably not agree 100% with my definition.
Now, we don't have to agree. I just want to talk, right?
And because again, I'm talking to like the masses. So yes, technically unprocessed is like raw, natural, like you're picking it off the tree and you're eating it. That could be.
You have to be naked in sunshine or you don't get your vitamin D. Exactly. Like it's totally proven. There's 3 studies.
Yeah. No, yes. No fake light at night unless you have your blue light glasses on either. But it's like, but basically anything that once grew or you can pronounce is what I start with. So if it once grew, that is a good choice. And if it's coming from a package, which is not my choice, but if it is, do you know what is in it? Do you know what those ingredients are? Can you define them? Are they real? So take, this is probably a funny example, but I'm going to say ice cream. If you're going to eat ice cream, I want you eating the real thing with 3 ingredients, not the fat-free, sugar-free, fake yogurt, you know, because we can't define what's in that. So what I want, real ingredients that once grew and you can define, and then we can advance from there, you know, but it's just because I think, and I'm guilty of it too. I get so caught up in this amazing nutrition and all the new research and what's out there. But then what that does is that alienates people that are just starting because it's overwhelming for them. And I wanted to so when I say unprocess, I'm just unraveling. I'm getting you away from the Doritos. You know, let's stop that. Let's start eating more natural again.
That is an amazing first step. And there's all sorts of reasons you might not want to eat potatoes. Like you could talk about carbohydrates. You could talk about, there's also reasons, there's a book called the Potato Hack, or it actually talks about only eating potatoes, right? There's arguments on both sides, but here's the thing. Eating a potato chip that came from a factory, fried in crap, versus baking a potato or making your own potato chip in the oven or even frying it yourself in good oil, there's just a difference. And I'm not sure we can even quantify what the difference is, but you'll feel better if you make it yourself.
It's baby steps. It's just like, okay, I eat organic. I'm a huge fan of organic eating. Would I tell somebody, if the choice was to eat organic fruit and vegetables or not eat fruits and vegetables at all because their only choice happens to be not organic, I'm going to tell them to make – it's baby steps. It's baby steps, and that's what I talk about. So if you're eating candy and junk, the next best step is what? And then the next best step is what? Like, you can really get picky and you can move down the line and have this perfect diet later, but you got to start somewhere. And to me, people giving up diet soda and starting to read ingredients and understand – what things are that they're putting in their body, that's a huge, huge first step. And I want to show people that it's possible, because I think that some of the diets out there, they really overwhelm people. And it's too hard to start because it's like, this is extreme.
It's totally true. There's
there's a lot that happens when you go to a normal person's house. And I used to do this with clients and even just with friends. And you take two large black trash bags and you walk into the kitchen and you open the cabinets.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, this is going to the food bank because most of it isn't food. And like, I actually have, I have questions about this, and people will think I'm nuts, but if you go to someone's house and you're like, this isn't food, and you take the food out, I don't want to compost it, and this is also going to piss people off. If you make compost out of processed food, you know what you get? You get crappy processed soil, yep. And it doesn't grow good food.
I agree. I agree.
Like industrial composting things, just because it looks like dirt doesn't mean it's useful dirt. Like, sorry, you put antibiotic-tainted crap in the soil won't have healthy bacteria. Like, it's just how it is. You put glyphosate in there, it's ruined. But do I really want to give bags of corn chips and like seriously like fake foods to people who are less fortunate? I actually would rather give them like wholesome organic food and grass fed butter.
I'm with you.
But if someone's really hungry, it's probably better that they eat something rather than nothing. So I'd bring it to the food bank. But when you go in and you empty that house, that is like traumatic. Like you just gave away $500 worth of like staple foods, even though I would call them staple foods with little fake quotes around the foods because you shouldn't be eating them. So your book, I think, helps people see, all right, I'm going to have to make some changes there. And that change alone is big, much less, you know, you should have nothing but fat in the morning, try intermittent fasting, bulletproof style. Like that's a pretty advanced technique. And I
think they're great. It's great advanced techniques, but I like the baby step first only because they can't get there yet. Yeah.
The baby step is actually a really big step. And that's the point. Like a lot of people, they'll never try all the advanced stuff, but just making the changes you're talking about eating real food that's not processed or better yet, processing it yourself in this thing called a stove. Mm-hmm. It's actually a revolutionary act when you do that. And then buying fresh stuff from the person who grew it instead of from China.
Yeah.
It's also a revolutionary act. So I think you've helped a lot of people with your 19 ebooks already. Just make that change.
Yeah. And I was so adamant about using the word unprocessed because that's really how I feel things need to go. I mean, things have gotten out of control with first the fat-free, then the sugar-free, then the, you know, like everything's killing us. And then we got a juice cleanse. Then it's like there's so much out there and they all have, every place has a point and I get it. But we've really gotten away from some major things that people need to change, like artificial sweeteners. Like, why are people following these crazy diets and still drinking diet soda? I don't get it. So I needed to explain what's happening with artificial sweeteners.
My favorite thing is the new trend in food, which is food free. Or they're like, it's a low calorie snack. You're like, you know what that means? That means there's less food in there. Right?
Yeah.
It might be processed, it might not be processed, but if it's low calorie, it means that you're paying more money to get less food.
Yeah.
And that's stupid.
And I cringe at fat-free, sugar-free. I cringe at fat-free, sugar-free because I'm like, what the heck is in there then? You know, what are they putting in there?
Soybeans.
Right. Yeah, and what people don't realize too is that what I feel like I've really dialed in on the book is I have a big thing about artificial sweeteners because your body thinks it's getting those calories too. So of course you're going to crave more and be bloated and want more. I mean, so aside from everything else it does wrong to your body, it's they're wondering why they're still so hungry when eat real foods and that doesn't happen.
You get this neurological craving that comes from NutraSweet especially. That stuff is so bad. And when I was trying to lose my 100 pounds, I was working out like 6 days a week, but I was drinking like big diet sodas because I didn't want the calories. And I was like, you know, really struggling. And, and I thought I had it down. And this one day, right before like the afternoon classes, I went to the university like soda machine. And I'm like, I'm going to be really good today. I'm going to drink a diet soda instead of even putting a little bit of soda in there because I'm not going to have any sugar. Like I'm going to win. So I drank this like, I don't know, 100,000 gallon. I don't know. It was like a vat of diet soda. And I'm sitting in class and I started to like hallucinate. And like I kind of felt like my eyes were crossing and I was like drooling on myself and the teacher was looking at me funny. And I was like, wait a minute. Like that's what the diet soda did to me because I just overdosed on an empty stomach on diet soda. And that was the level of signal it took me to go, all right, maybe I should like back off on that stuff. It's messing me up. And that was for me a really like a watershed moment to go, wait, like it has an effect. But most people don't know that has an effect because they don't hit that crazy dose on an empty stomach because it's just bad news. And when you do the science, like you've talked about in your book, without all the necessarily the deep references, but just saying, here's what it does to you. Like, cool, man. Everyone should know this. Everyone in the country, everyone on the planet should know. If a company tries to sell you those artificial things, they're not doing it for your best interests. And if they tell you it's in your own best interest, that's actually evil. Like you can't do that.
Yeah, it's not okay. And I don't. I also don't expect people to be perfect. So, but what's really nice about an unprocessed food diet is when you are eating clean and natural foods, when you do have that junk food, whatever, you might feel good for a moment. But what happens is you start to realize what it does to you and how different you feel after, and your taste changes for it. You know, it tastes different after when you get used to getting your sweets from fruit, for instance, mm-hmm. and then you go eat candy, it tastes funny. Like to eat, you know, like a piece of licorice or something, you know, it just tastes different. It tastes fake, but it takes you eating natural and clean to get that. And like, I'm a human, you know, I mean, I tell everybody I should be sponsored by Reese's Pieces because that's the worst thing for you ever. But yeah, one time a month I send my husband, I'm like, I need them right now. I might eat them. And then I never feel good after. And it reminds me why I don't do it.
Which color do you eat first?
I don't know, all the bad ones. It's not good for me. But it's like my one, it's like whatever it is from being a kid or something. If I really am like feeling I need something, I want that. And I never feel good after. It's like you do it and then you're like, why the heck did I do that? But I teach people like you move on. Everyone's human. Yeah. You do things. But when you're eating, it's what you do 99% of the time. And when you're doing that, your body reacts quickly and you remember why you don't want to do it again. At least for a month.
Exactly. That reminder thing in the Bulletproof Diet book, I'm like, okay, try this for a couple weeks and then just have pizza and beer and wake up the next morning and tell me it didn't work. And people are like, oh, you know, like it just ruins you. And like,
totally.
Okay, that was always happening. Now you've noticed. And you're doing the same thing. You cut out the processed foods and then you add something back in. And I imagine that a lot of your followers, they might go out and have a little bit more than Reese's Pieces, but now you've actually felt the difference. The big food industry would love to have you go out and try one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And you'll never experience any difference. Oh yeah, I cut out, you know, this one little thing. Nah, you have to cut out the group of things that cause trouble, and they're almost all processed.
This Halloween was funny because I hadn't had like sugar, food coloring, candy junk in a long time, but my daughter trick-or-treating, whatever. And she had the stuff and she wanted to try some. And I let my daughter do what she wants. I just educate her on what it's doing and then let her make her decisions. But I grabbed some of it was like Laffy Taffy or something.
Oh, wow.
And I was like thinking, oh, this is going to be so good. I remembered it as a kid and I bit it and it was like gross to me because I'm not used to that artificial sweetness anymore. So it was I really realized how far off we have gotten with our taste and what it's just a mess. Cause it's like, to me, fruit is completely sweet to me. If I'm going to have fruit, that's all I need if I want sugar.
Yeah. Fruit is plenty of sugar in there. But I remember I was in Peru. And I went to Lima, that big city, millions of people. And there's like these like fruit vendor carts, except they're all selling like Kit Kats and Snickers. And like they literally stopped selling fruit because it was too much work to get in the city.
Oh my gosh.
And then you get on a little plane, you fly to Cusco, which is a small town, and they're still selling fruit. And like you can see a difference in the population. Like, okay, are you eating food or are you eating like packaged crap? And you're happier when you eat real foods.
Totally.
But you do something else too, because you're celiac, and you recommend that everyone, including non-celiacs, be gluten-free when they're going unprocessed. Why do you recommend gluten-free for everyone?
Okay, so first of all, I don't necessarily recommend gluten-free for everyone, but I recommend unprocessed food for everyone. Okay. And when you eat an unprocessed food diet, you're pretty much eating gluten-free anyway. So I wanted to explain that because just going on a gluten-free diet could mean a processed gluten-free diet. And
that's
there's
totally
a lot of
true.
People that go on a gluten-free diet and gain weight and get sick. And type 2 diabetes goes up because that's junk. It's almost worse junk than the gluten-containing junk sometimes.
You can actually have only corn chips and Coke and be gluten-free.
Yes.
And vegan, actually. Vegan,
yes.
Gluten-free diet right there.
There you go. Perfect. But so I don't let – and I kind of got away from using the word gluten-free because when I was diagnosed with celiac, this was years ago, no one knew what gluten was. Mm. Now it's like this trendy thing and everyone's gluten-free and, oh, gluten-free donuts, I'm fine, I'm eating gluten-free. And no, it's not fine. Now, I do think if anyone has an autoimmune disease, gluten has to come out. It's a must in my mind. But I would say when you eat a natural unprocessed food, by my definition, the way I eat, there is no gluten in that. There's no gluten in fruits or vegetables or meats or nuts or seeds or oils. Or in Bulletproof coffee. There's no gluten in that.
Right. Exactly.
So it's gluten-free. So I recommend everyone eat an unprocessed food diet.
I love that. And it just makes me, it makes me crazy when I see these you know big gluten-free stickers, and I did something kind of sarcastic, like I'm working on re-releasing a bottled water, and I absolutely put a gluten-free badge on it because it's freaking hilarious.
Serious?
Dude, it's water, okay?
Oh my gosh.
Like, but I put it there because it's a humor
That's
item,
funny.
Right? It's also, there's a vegan thing.
I put
that
on my headphones yes. and on my DVDs. On my DVDs, I'm going to write
It's like, my water is vegan. My water, it's like, I don't even care if it's vegan or not. Like, I don't consider plant-based or or animal-based to be a useful moniker because, well, my favorite animal protein is spider venom. And my favorite vegetable protein is sarin, the nerve gas. So, like, clearly, plants and animals are all toxic and we're going to die because we can't eat anything. So, we should just be done with it. But those badges are kind of funny.
That's hysterical.
It doesn't mean healthy. It doesn't mean I helmet. It doesn't mean anything. But it's technically true. So, hey, let's use it, right?
That's funny. I got away from the word gluten-free because I, as a celiac, was over it. Because right. I almost am embarrassed if I go to a restaurant now and I'm ordering what I think will be fine for me. And then I have to say, can you just confirm that it's gluten-free? Because I feel like I'm the annoying person that's I don't like that now. Like, so it's, I'm getting away from it. I'm coining the name unprocessed. I like it better.
And the definition of gluten-free is also subject to regulatory approval.
Yes.
This is maybe 10 years ago. I had my first chance. I finally got enough points. I used to commute from California to Cambridge, England, which is a horrible commute. I did it every month. And I don't remember how many hours of flying it is, but it's time zones and jet lag. And I finally got my upgrade to Virgin Atlantic upper class, you know, the purple seats. And a chair with enough legroom finally from economy. And I order the gluten-free meal and it comes out on these nice plates. And like, oh, you're gluten-free. And they bring me this roll. And I turn the package over. The roll is made out of wheat starch and has 60 milligrams of gluten in the gluten-free roll. And I'm like, hey, it's below the regulatory definition of gluten. Therefore, it's gluten-free. And I'm like, stick a fork in my eye, guys. Like, whatever. I'll just eat the butter. And in fact, that was the trip where I came up with the name Bulletproof. A guy named Herb Kim was sitting next to me. We got to talking and he like gave me the idea. So it was kind of cool. So, but that definition of gluten-free, it doesn't mean anything, right?
No.
You've got to watch out. Like what's actually in there versus whether it's free of this. Because if they're telling you it's free of something, they're actually trying to distract you from knowing what's actually in there, which is what's most important.
Here's my other pet peeve about gluten-free. So I hate when someone says, I think I'm gluten sensitive or I'm celiac or I'm gluten intolerant. So I am going to get a blood test and my doctor wants me to eat lots of gluten this week so that it'll show up on my blood test. It's like, to me, I'm like, just take it out of your diet. If you feel better, you have your answer so you want to put more poison in you to see if you have a reaction to it. That's ridiculous. Just like being sensitive to lactose or just take it out. We don't need it in our diets.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I'm like, look, some people have celiac, but many other people have long-term 20-year-plus autoimmune reactions to it. There's no argument for including it in your diet except I'm lazy. And you're like, at this point, there's lots of other better sources of nutrition.
Exactly.
So if you're starving and you can't afford to not eat wheat, then eat wheat. Like, it's great. Starvation is really bad for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, though, like, move
What's
away
the
from
point?
It.
Like yeah, there's no reason. If you have to have starches, I'd rather you have rice, potato, have something without gluten, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway.
It's not an ideal food for humans. So when you take it out and when you unprocess your diet, when you're doing the 7-day jumpstart plan, all right, cool. You got people to try it and you know, maybe they only kind of did it. That's cool.
Yeah.
I want to know more about your diet. People listening to Bulletproof Radio are always interested in the latest hacks for the diet and all that stuff. What about getting your body into fat burning mode? What are you talking about? On your plan.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I could go down so many roads on this, but I'm going to make it. This is how I talk to my people because I want it to be as simple as possible. First of all, you have to consume less than you're burning off. And that just is very basic elementary school information. But I think a lot of people miss the boat counting so many things and trying to measure all these exact portions. And then they're just not active at all. So I tell people you want to eat healthy, but you got to move your body too. You've got to move because we've got to get our bodies moving and not be sitting all day, which is horrible for us, and just eating. Because if we're eating more than we're burning off, we're going to have a problem right there. And then I also talk about that you have to eat fat, to get rid of fat. You can't, just like I would tell you to drink water to not be bloated. You, if your body's not getting it, it's going to hold on to things. So I hate people that say I don't hate anybody, but I hate the whole fat-free craze. I eat a lot of fat, a lot of it. And the more fat I eat, guess what? The more fat I burn off. I'm not storing it when I'm eating it. So I keep it very basic like that. I'm not a fan of eliminating food groups entirely.
It's people like you who are increasing the price of butter. If you would just stop talking about this high fat thing, I'd really appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah. But I love, you know, it's funny because you got me hooked on coffee with ghee in it. I mean, that's all you. And I've been sharing that a lot on my Snapchats and social media. Cool. I get so many people like, what are you, you're putting ghee that causes heart disease. I'm like, no, it doesn't. That's such old information. And no. So I feel like there's just so much old misinformation out there now. And we need to eat real foods. We need to eat fat. We need to eat protein. We need to eat carbs. And carbs are not Doritos. Carbs can be vegetables and protein, but you have to eat foods for your body to operate that way. And so it's not storing fat and it's burning it. That's very basic, but that's pretty much how I talk. I like to explain it.
Even if you're not in ketosis, which is a big part of what I recommend going in and going out, you still have to eat enough fat to burn fat. Because if you're only eating sugar, your body's like, I got to store the stuff as fat. And and certain kinds of fat, like brain octane specifically, it can be stored as fat in the body. Like most fat can be stored as fat. It doesn't mean it will be. It just can be. But I'm a fan of like including things in the coffee recipe. You're like, okay, this gives you energy and it just won't get there on your hips or on your belly or wherever you don't want it to go. And that little kind of hack for me has been a big one.
My big thing that I like to say is, because I hate when someone says, oh, do carrots make you fat? Or does coconut oil make you fat? Or MCT oil make you fat? What I say is eating too much processed food and not moving your body is what makes you fat. Inactivity. And those are the two things that make people obese. Now, we could get into intermittent fasting or doing ketosis. Yeah. There's all kinds of things we could go down and discuss. But the bottom line is, even if they don't do putting themselves into ketosis, if they do the basics, they're not going to be obese. You know, it's very hard to be obese doing the natural way of eating these foods.
Totally true. What do you have for breakfast?
Well, before I met you or after, because before I met you and in my plans, I have different things that I like to do. I have like my staple, like four different breakfasts. But one of my favorite things is I do like a natural turkey sausage. I know that's processed, but it's one that's, I know every ingredient in it. It's a natural and I cook it with MCT oil a little bit.
Oh, cool.
And then I do a big side of berries and fruit. So I'm getting my fat, my protein, and that's one breakfast I love to have. I love to do eggs and avocado and fruit. That's another one that I've done. But now, quite frankly, I've gotten addicted to your Bulletproof, but I've done it. I hope I'm not in trouble. I've done it not quite the right way. In fact, you have fans that like comment on my mind. They're like, that's not true Bulletproof. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying. So this is my new favorite breakfast. And my entire team texts me in the morning, always like, are you making the coffee? But what I do is I take the Bulletproof coffee. And I think I told you last time I spoke to you, I had actually never had coffee in my life until like a month ago. And I started listening to you, and now everybody's hooked on coffee here. So I use your coffee. I use your coffee, and I add it in the blender with the MCT oil. But I do.
Are you using brain octane or XCT?
Your brain octane.
Brain octane is like a subcategory of MCT. Cool.
So I'm using brain octane. Sorry, specifically brain octane. I don't use the 2 tablespoons. I use probably like a teaspoon to a full tablespoon of that. And then I add a tablespoon of ghee. And then I do a full scoop of chocolate whey, like a natural chocolate whey protein. And then I add a special cacao I like.
Oh,
that's my little concoction. And I blend it up. And that's my addiction in the mornings right now.
You've definitely got all of the real Bulletproof ingredients because you've got butter.
I didn't do the right ratios. I know that.
Yeah, but, you know, ratios vary by person. And some of the like crazy like calorie counting critics like, there's 430 calories in Bulletproof coffee. I'm like, this is going to sound radical, but like, just check this out.
Yeah.
A 90-pound woman will put less fat in her coffee than a 300-pound bodybuilder. And you know what? It's the same thing when they put scoops of scrambled eggs on their plate.
the bodybuilder puts more calories on his plate, and the lighter woman puts less calories on her plate, because the amount of food you eat isn't actually fixed. It's a base of what's your basal metabolic rate, how much do you move, and how big are you? Mm-hmm. Like, those matter. So yes, I'll have 400 calories, but I'm like 200 pounds. And if you had 400 calories, it might not be good.
It's so good. And then I put it in my Vitamix, and I have to put it like on super high speed because it makes it really like that frothy. And then I can't do the raw. Did I hear you say you can put a raw egg in it? That's not going to happen. I can't do that.
it gets slightly cooked when it's in the hot coffee. But here's the thing.
It doesn't stick with the whey.
It's invisible when it's in there. Like you would never know. It's just a little bit frothier.
And then another thing is lots of different ways I've done breakfast, but one thing I do love, big weakness to me was always granola, but I don't want to eat granola. So I get a very natural brand of it. And I use like the serving size, I think, is 3/4 cup. And I use 1/4 cup of it, but I trick it. So I take 1/4 cup of granola, and then I take a bunch of walnuts chopped up. And then I take a lot of strawberries and berries in there. And then I take shredded coconut and cacao nibs. And then I added a little bit of coconut milk. So that's another kind of breakfast I'll do. So I just, it's about taking like the natural foods, and I still get the crunch factor or whatever. But I've got to say, lately, I'm pretty addicted to the coffee. That's like my go-to every day. It's like, I'm just gonna have to go on my next book because I love it. And it's just my new favorite craving in the morning.
You can do like some of your granola stuff with the coffee.
Well, I usually add some strawberries. Well. So I wasn't completely honest. I'll add I have to have some berries in the morning too.
Yeah, that totally works, right? And so you can build the coffee in. And what kind of gives me indigestion?
It's a new brand for you. You can call it Build a Coffee, and it'll be for people like me that just don't listen completely and just modify it. No way, Build a Coffee.
You know, you're getting the importance of, you get the brain octane, you get the clean beans, so you don't get the food craving later from the coffee crash. You know, people put all sorts of weird stuff in there. Someone put bacon in the other day. I'm like,
bacon?
That's not good. I did. I've tried tallow.
Have you put the cacao in there, though? Because it's really good like that.
We make a cacao powder, like a lab-tested raw one. And I'll use that for mocha. In the Bulletproof Coffee Shop, we do that. We add nibs to some things. And we use the collagen protein that's heat-stable, which is another hack for it. But it's like that basic thing where you get the clean coffee, you get the brain octane and a little bit of butter, because it has stuff in it that's really good for you.
The ghee is so good.
Butter or ghee, yeah. And ghee is actually better than butter from a nutritional profile. From a frothiness perspective, ghee is not as frothy as butter, which is why I recommend butter for most people. It's pretty well tolerated, and it's just like a slight flavor edge, but you're choosing the right thing.
I'm gonna go back to those Instagram comments, and I'm gonna say you approve, because I had all kinds of Dave fans going, that's not the correct way to do this.
And here's the other thing that true Bulletproof fans would say about that. They'll say, look, whey protein isn't very heat stable. So if you're gonna go to the trouble of buying a high quality, low temperature processed whey, like I manufacture this crazy whey with extra colostrum and stuff, like the whey, it doesn't benefit from a heavy blend because it breaks up the peptides, assuming you actually have peptides in your whey. And then it doesn't stand up to heat very well. So what a true crazy Bulletproof person would do is they would blend the coffee and the oils first, which allows the heat to drop in the coffee.
That's what I do.
Oh, there you go. And then you'd add the whey. And I generally say don't really put whey in coffee because of the heat thing. But if the coffee's cooled a bit, you add the whey at the end and then pulse it a little bit to get the whey mixed in, but not like blend the crap out of the whey. You know, that's pretty darn Bulletproof. I could go for that.
Yeah, and I'm not eligible. I'm just unprocessing. See, I'm unprocessing. So I'm not perfection. So
there you go.
I'm doing, and I didn't even do coffee before, so I'm coming a long way.
You have come so far, and look at how amazing you look now that you're on coffee. Like, you look twice as
good
as last time.
I'm happy. Yeah, that's right. I'm younger now. I dropped 10 years.
Your IQ doubled. I get it, right?
No, I love it. It's on my Snapchat. It's on my Snapchat this morning. You have to check it out.
That's so cool.
Snapchat all day. It shows my Bulletproof, what I'm doing there.
I have a question. So, like, I'm old, right? So
you're younger than me, I think. So
if I'm on Snapchat, like, do I have to wear pants? Like I don't have that down.
Remember, we were talking about being authentic, like doing the whole authentic. What I love about Snapchat is it is so real and fun. Like I just have fun with it. It's like I embarrass myself on there. I don't even care. It's fun because you think you're just talking to your phone and you just forget that a lot of people are watching. But wow. It's fun. And you know, I start every social media site with just having fun, and it evolves. And my social media always grow pretty quick, but because I'm just real on them, and Snapchat to me is like the most fun, real one. And people really? Are just interested in what I'm doing. Like I right before we recorded, we were on here, I Snapchatted that I was about to talk to you. I just share whatever's going on. It doesn't take, it's like the least time consuming.
Yeah.
And you can't, it's just fun. You just, whatever you think you're doing is show your setup for stuff. People are interested. They want to know what's really happening. They want to know if you ever have a Reese's Pieces. Like they want to see it. They want to know the fun stuff.
I actually don't have Reese's Pieces. I don't do any of that stuff.
I'm just trying to project on you
I do that like coconut agave. I forget their names. Like coconut ice cream sometimes. Okay. Like agave has fructose in it, but I don't eat any fructose usually. So like I don't really.
But they want to. They just like to see. Like my dog is famous on Snapchat, and so is my husband. I make fun of everybody else. That's what you do with it. Just make fun of everybody else in your life.
All right, I got my Snapchat lesson. So
awesome.
Now talk to me about willpower.
Okay.
Like you've dealt with depression. You've dealt with obesity. You're clearly in like a really happy space. What's your take on willpower?
So I think you can't do things on willpower alone. You have to have a bigger picture, like a bigger why. So you need to know why you want to do things. Like with you, you said you were dealing with Asperger's and all these things going on, and you knew that you didn't want to feel that way. For me, I'm 44 and I'm a proud 44. I feel 20. I feel good. I am happy. I love when people say you look great for 44. Like I like that I can play with my daughter at the park and not be sitting on the bench complaining about aches and pains. You know, there's 44-year-olds that feel 90, and then there's me that feels 20. And that's my why. I want to be here for a long time, and I want to have my wits about me and be as healthy as I can. And to me, there's so much we can't control. There's so many things we can't control, but why not control what we can? And I can control what I put in my body. I can control how much I move it. So I do it. I control that. So to me, the willpower part isn't as important because it's like I just know my bigger picture.
And I feel like when you take the steps you've taken to sort of control the things you can control in your environment, like what you put in your mouth, it does free up willpower for other things versus sort of just being whipsawed around by like what you ate in your last meal or like what's going on in the world around you. Like building peace into your environment is not a bad thing because when you get a little bit of quiet time and maybe you perform better, maybe you have more willpower. It seems to make sense.
Yeah. And I like people to know that nobody's perfect. Everyone has their days, you know, every month. I mean, there's definite days where I feel down it's just human, you know, you have days that are bad, but it's about making good choices. And so you can get the majority of your life great, but it doesn't mean you're never going to throw your back out or you're never going to, you know, things happen in life, but you just make the best choices you can while you can.
Very, very well said. Well, Natalie, I'm really curious how you're going to answer the final question of the interview.
I'm scared.
I mean, I don't know if hopefully you didn't prepare ahead of time because it's more fun if you don't. But if someone came up to you tomorrow and said, look, Natalie, based on everything you've learned in your life, I want your advice. Like, I want to perform better at everything. What are the three most important things I need to know?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. Okay. I have like 100. Okay, the first thing, be accountable. It's no one else's fault. Because you got to drop the blame game. I'm so sick of people blaming everybody else for what's wrong with them. Because that's not going to help them. You got to drop it and just be accountable no matter what it is. Because things might be tougher for you. They might be harder. You might have more uphills to climb. It doesn't matter. You got to be accountable and own it and do it.
Do you know who created the blame game?
No, who?
I don't know. Whoever did it, it's their fault.
Oh, it's their fault. I get it.
Sorry, I just had to blame someone. I was just being meta. Sorry.
I hate the blame game. And then my slogan has always been excuses or solutions, you decide. Because that's the other thing.
That.
We all have excuses. I mean, I could have a million excuses. But we can choose to tell everybody our excuses and have validation about them. And that, again, changes nothing. Or we can find solutions to things. And then everything changes. You know, so that's the other thing I would say. And then the third thing I'm going to say is move. It sounds so basic, but it's just move more. Like I used to get in trouble in school as a kid because I couldn't sit still. You know, I was just like always moving and like fidgety and I'd want to get up and I was labeled everything. I was ADD, ADHD, whatever. And my daughter goes through the same thing right now with her teachers and the teachers will say she's not paying attention. And I want to say, you're just boring. It's not her. You're just boring. People are supposed to move. I like that she moves around and wants to get up and doesn't want to sit in one place. Like, society tends to tell us that that's not okay, that we're supposed to be sitting in a cubicle all day or sitting behind a desk and supposed to be little robots and just, you know, work, and then go run on the treadmill for an hour. Like, that's not what our bodies are designed to do. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't care what your teacher, your boss told you. Like, move around, because inactivity is like close to being dead. You know, just move. I mean, I could go on about exercise programs and everything, but I'll tell you right now, if we just got rid of our chairs and our cubicles and those desks, a lot of obesity problems would go away. A lot of health problems would go away. So that's my last thing.
Well, great answers, as I would have expected. Natalie, thank you for being on Bulletproof Radio. Will you tell listeners where they can find out more about your book, about you? You have like social stuff everywhere. Where should people go to like connect with you?
Okay. So nataliejillfitness.com/book is where I want everyone to go initially, because that's where you're going to find out where to get my book, which is available everywhere. And that's my website, nataliejillfitness.com. And then I'm on every social media site, nataliejillfit. Except for YouTube, which is Natalie Jill Fitness. But other than that, Natalie Jill Fit, and my books in bookstores will be in bookstores everywhere as of May 3rd. And it's available to pre-order now with lots of bonuses.
And that's Natalie Jill. N-A-T-A-L-I-E, Jill.com.
Natalie Jill Fitness.
Oh, sorry. NatalieJillFitness.com/book.
Yes.
We'll include that in the transcript. So when this goes live on the Bulletproof website, we'll put a link so everyone can find it. No problem.
So that looks like, can you see? But it's a hardcover. This is the galley. So it's like the paperback, but the actual book is a hardcover, all color copy recipe.
Is that you?
That's me with blonde hair, blondish. And now my hair is dark. It's gotten darker.
Okay, that's why you look so different. That is like a supermodel picture. That's awesome.
It is. I was told I look like J-Lo on this. I don't know how I feel about that. But this is me.
If people are telling you look like J-Lo, I think that that's okay.
All right. I don't ever cut my hair short. It's always long, but I've definitely gone blonde to dark many times.
If they said you look like Donald Trump or someone, that's not a compliment.
That's the problem.
But if you're like J-Lo, I think you're doing all right. I'm pretty sure. I'm not that cool.
And I fought for this cover, Dave. I did.
Did you?
I didn't want like the standard standing in a kitchen all serious, like every other cookbook and recipe book and nutrition book. I had to be different.
Well, cover design is a dark art, and I certainly haven't mastered it at all. So I think you did well.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Have an awesome day, and thanks again for being on Bulletproof Radio.
Thanks.
If you enjoyed today's show, do something good. Go on to iTunes and say, hey, I like this. Or better yet, share this episode or share your favorite episode with someone who you think would like it. Subscribe to it. And head on over to Natalie Jill's site to pick up a copy of her book if you'd like to learn more about unprocessing your diet. While you're at it, there's a few other things you could do. I mentioned at the beginning of the show a couple things you need to know about. And I'm going to mention them again because, well, they both have me super excited. Bulletproof bars, collagen, brain octane, all the good stuff. Super portable, super delicious. If you eat them with a chocolate bar, you'll never want a Reese's Pieces again. Natalie, I'm talking to you here. And Instamix, because sometimes you don't have time to, you know, take butter and oil and pour it in your coffee, but you do have time to do this. And because I live in Canada, I'm going to show you something here that just pisses me off. See this one? The customs people, yes, I'm talking to you, Canadian customs, you opened my precious Instamix and you cut one open because you're bastards. And you put tape on it that says you inspected it. And you know what? This is unnecessary harassment at the border for people who just want grass-fed butter and brain octane in their coffee. Got it? It is a white powder, but it's not that kind of white powder. Have an awesome day, even if you're the guy who cut my Instamix open. I forgive you. Get tons more original info to make it easier to kick more ass at life when you sign up with a free newsletter at bulletproofexec.com and stay bulletproof.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.